Right, so it was the middle of Perek Beis, Perek Shishi. So we spoke a lot about the meat of Emes. Yesterday we did Kushta?
Yeah.
So we did Kushta. So we spoke yesterday about the difference between Emes and Sheker and Tov and Ra. It's two opposing value systems. They don't exist side by side. Because Emes and Sheker means if it's Emes it exists, and Sheker means it's just not there. And Tov and Ra gives legitimacy to Ra. And that's a very terrific concept. That's something Hashem allowed that concept to come into being in order to challenge us. But in reality, it shouldn't be. In reality, if somebody has a relationship with an Eishes Ish, the child should not be born. She shouldn't get pregnant. In reality, if somebody is Navera, he shouldn't be. But you can't have a world like that, because there's no point. There's no point to having a world like that. But the goal is that the world should reach that, point. That is the goal. And the Hillam Emes is no such thing as Tov and Ra. It's only Emes. And there is no Sheker. And anyone that doesn't have a Sheker to Emes can't be there. The litmus to test, the litmus test for someone entering the Hillam Emes is how much he Sheker to Emes. What kind of Emes? The Emes that comes when we take the Sheker. The Emes that comes from the Eretz. Spoke about that a little bit. But the Marishon. Emes Sheker Tov Ra. The Adam ate from the Eitz HaDaas. So he became a Yodea Tov Ra.
That's an argument that were standards.
That's a good thing.
He said the snake vibe.
Okay.
I'm not really sure who won the argument, but...
When he said that Adam in the Gitav Chava, if she eats from the Yitzhadash, she's going to be Bari Olamus. And that was not a lie, and it's very true. Creating worlds. That is very true. We do it. You know, somebody creates a world. What does it mean to create a world, first of all? To create a world is to bring something new that was never here before. If there's only Emes and Sheker, and Emes is the only thing in front of you, and it's very clear what the Emes is and what the Emes is not, so then there's no challenge in life. Like we said, Adam Reason had one challenge in life. To open the door which leads from the room the environment of Emes and Sheker, and to go into a different environment. But within Emes and Sheker, there's no challenges, there's no yigir, there's no schwitzen. There's no schwitzen within Emes and Sheker. So what's the only world that he could have created? The only world he could create, he can't even create a world. What he could do is he could seal the door off. The door is open. He has the free choice to leave the world of Emes and to enter into a world where things are not clear. But as long as he's in that world, everything is Emes. So what's the only thing open to him is to close the door off.
Which creates Sheker?
The door which allows him to enter into an alternative reality that Sheker also has power, Sheker also exists. They run out somebody who wants to change the plan of their house and they have a doorway which connects two rooms. So they cement up their doorway. So that's the world he could have created. He could have taken the world that he was in, that the world has a way like a lever, that the trap opens up and then you go down, and he could close up that trap door. He chose to walk through the door. It was wrong. He shouldn't have done that. And he went through the trap door and he fell down. And now evil is also possible. If somebody's in the world, evil is also possible. And they're acquainted with evil. And there's so much shaykhah, so much connection, you're surrounded by evil. And still, you're not fooled, and you're able to bring out the emes amidst the evil, be able to make choices. This is true and this is not true. And this is trying to cover up the truth. And when you do that, you create a new world.
If not, you may be
satisfied. You always created a new world. There's something here that was not here before. It's a pathway. And other people can follow your pathway. Can you do it? That's why a guy had a very hard time with, I don't know, he had a very hard time with heavy metal music. He really into it. And it was like, he had the earbuds in his head 24/7, and when the earbuds were out of his head, he had the music in his mind 24/7. He was filled with rage and, you know, and kill and smash and meat and swallow and destroy and everything, you know, anger. And he had no idea what it did to him. And then he got out of it. And it wasn't easy because he has to be replaced with something, and he has to go back to what brought him into it in the first place and find out what it did to his whole character, change as a result of it. And he doesn't accept authority, of course not, you know, because he can't accept the authority, and he wants to go out of his way to be destructive. And again, he goes through the whole road. And finally he breaks free, and then he becomes a human being. And he has a friend, a real close friend. He's really a heavy metal music. And the guy is listening to it 24/7. And it's on his brain, ringing through his ears, you know. And then, and the guy, you know, the smallest thing ticks him off, you know, just to be polite, you know, say it nicely. Okay? He can help that guy. Why? Because he did it before. He can help that guy. And he can lead them through a pathway. And that pathway was made already. And he could show them exactly what he did. You know, when someone takes you apart and dissects you, and says, oh, you do this, you probably do this, this, and this, and this. Oh my gosh, how does a rabbi remember so well? You know why? Because he's been there. A rabbi that's been there could do it. A rabbi that was never there is a harder time.
You can still do it.
It's harder. Of course you could do it, because in theory, you can go through it in theory. If you're deep enough, you could do things in theory, yeah. But someone was actually through it and came out of it. So there's a pathway. And the pathway exists for going into the mud, and then there's a pathway to get out of it. That's a rule that was created. And that's a good thing. You know, so it was wrong for the Marishan to eat from the Eitz HaDaas. But once he ate from it, and he got out of it, Adam got out of it. Adam was a tzaddik. Adam was a Masrach Pela. Adam was a, you know, he's like the sun, you know. Adam was fine. Whatever he did, and now he got out of it. So when a person gets out of it, he's creating a new world. He's literally creating a new world. It was never here before. It is now. So I ask you, did the snake lie? Did he lie? What he did was, is that what he did lie was...
The whole truth.
Right, you're going to create a new world, but God doesn't want you to do that. That was a lie.
So why didn't he figure that out?
He made it seem like he's going to be closer to God. He made it seem like that's what God wanted.
And he doesn't. God does want, when a person falls, to come back, but you know, God, if someone says to keep 613 mitzvahs, do you have to divorce your wife? He doesn't want. God doesn't want the person to do that.
A famous rabbi, like, who did it.
It's wrong. It's distorted. It's twisted.
But there was one, right?
Like a smarty
guy.
I don't know. Guy should be a Chal Shabbos. He could do the mitzvah being a Kavod Chatzis. He's not even Kavod Chatzis. He's doing it amazing. That's Shaggy. He's a Shaita. Maybe I said he's a Shaggy because he's a Shaita.
But there was like a famous Sephardi rabbi who divorced his wife and then remarried her.
The Gemara says in Megarish Yisra Rishona, Afila Mizbeach Vard Lov Demayis, which means that the Gemara doesn't want people to divorce their wives. And if the Gemara doesn't want it, God doesn't want it.
Rabbi, I have a question.
Yeah.
Some married a guy.
Look,
guy.
Yeah. Married a guy, and then divorced, and then she married someone else, and then she divorced, then she becomes a guy, and he married her again. It wasn't an indefinite. Married.
It's interesting that you asked that Shai love with that.
What?
That Shai is a tshuva in Rav Moshe Feinstein's. No, there's a tshuva, a responsa, in the Sefer Yiddish Moshe about someone who's married to a shiksa, a non-Jewish woman, and being Megayu. Rav Moshe Paskin's Allah from the Maisa, that her gerus is 100% Lashem Shemayim, so then they could marry each other. That's only if they were married. If they were married by civil law. If they weren't married by civil law, they were having relations with one another.
No, they were married. They were married.
And I'm saying, he said they're having relations with one another, the law is different. That's what Moshe says in the truth. Is different, and it's quite possible that they cannot marry each other. Okay. So let's continue. So according to this, Kadosh Baruch Hu does not judge the world based on the way Hashem knows the world. He doesn't. Hashem is aware that there's things in the world that go according to His will, so that can exist. Hashem is aware of things in the world that don't go according to His will. Those things don't exist, or they should not exist. And God does not judge the world that way. I mean, think about it. If what brought the world into existence was God's will, so that if someone or something is not in accordance with God's will, how does it exist? Not why does it exist. How? Where does it get it from? Where does it get it from? And that's true of every single person, because there's not a single person. At least nowadays, well, you know, there might be one exception, two exceptions, you know. Just saying, but there's not a single person from the Jewish mainstream, from any humanity, that's living exactly according to God's will. I mean, even Adam Arishan, who had the best shot of it, didn't live according to God's will. And he lived, he survived. Because God judged him with Malchus. God judged him with Malchus. Malchus. Well, that's part of Malchus. Part of Malchus is that there's a system, a tier system. You have the ones that are closer to the king, and then there's other levels, and there's people that can advocate the cause, and that's the way the Malchus works. Hashem chose to rule the world with Malchus. And ruling the world with Malchus means that Kadosh Baruch Hu has Sarah HaMalek and advisors and jurists. And look, Achashverosh was the prototype Malchus, with the Shivas Reh Pnei HaMelech. And of the Shivas Reh Pnei HaMelech, there were three of them that were Shomei HaSaf. And there was one of Shomei HaSaf that he was like, Mama's clothes. And we learn out the laws of Kriyas HaTorah from there. We learn out Kriyas HaTorah there, 3, 5, and 7. On Monday and Thursday and Shabbos and Mincha is 3, and Yom Tov it's 5, and then Shabbos it's 7. 3, 5, and 7. The Gemara says, what's the source for that? Because Achashverosh had Shivas Reh Pnei HaMelech, and there were 7 of them, so you learn out Shabbos, Kriyas HaTorah from them. And then there were three that were super special, and then there was 5. I don't know though. Let me get the fresh one here. Once we're doing this.
Once we're doing it,
let's do it right. Hey, the Gemara to Pele Otzen. Yeah. 357, the man the girl dot of demo. Three Shomer Asaf, that they guarded the threshold. We know about Bixen and Teresh, you know. They were Shomer Asaf. Kamisha Rei Pnei HaMelech. Of the seven people that guarded the first, that saw the king, five of them were special. And Shiva Rei Pnei HaMelech. And if you add the other two, you know, the other two ordinary ones. So we have seven. Yeah. So there's seven people to see the face of the king. Ordinary people didn't get to see the face of the king. Of those seven, five were special. And then there are three guards at the threshold, 3, 5, and 7. So we learn out Kriyas HaTorah, all Kriyas HaTorah, you know, all Kriyas HaTorah from Achashverosh. What does Achashverosh have to do with Kriyas HaTorah?
Malchus.
Because Achashverosh had his Malchus because Hashem's Malchus was like that. Birchus Kohanim. First Pasuk has three words. Second Pasuk has five. Third Pasuk has seven. Why? Malchus. So, if we carry this to its logical conclusion, why did Achashverosh have three Shomer Asaf? Because there's three psukim in the first pasuk, three words in the first pasuk of Birchus Kohanim. Why did he have seven Rei Pnei HaMelech? Because there's seven words in the last pasuk of Birchus Kohanim. And why did he have five of them that were special? Because in the second pasuk of Birchus Kohanim there's five words. And that's the way it works. And that's some quaint remnants. It's real. Birchus Kohanim is Hashem's Malchus. The Kohen is bringing down, is making the world into a better place, is bringing Hashem's Malchus into this world.
The Shema of Farsh is made out of the letters of Birkas Kohanim, right?
There's 72 letters in there, somewhere, it's in there somewhere.
So how many letters are in Birkas Kohanim?
72.
So with computers these days, we could jumble it all up.
You want a note?
Not necessarily.
Yeah, I'm just saying, it's not a... Hashem has his ways. If Hashem wants something to be hidden, it's hidden. The only way to get access to it is Messiah. And the actual letters are not going to do anybody any good. It's the meaning of it. Hashem refers
to
the meaning of
it. Meaning to use
and it turns a very dangerous endeavor.
It is.
Yeah.
Some of us are risk takers.
Yeah, well, it's not a risk. It's still guaranteed. That's if somebody really gets it, but you won't get it, don't worry about it. Oh, Shem of Farsh. Yeah. Gemara Be'ezar, David Zayin on the base. took him from Hanina ben Tradia, and he was one of the Asara Rubia Malkus. There was Migs on him, and the time of the Romans, he's going to get burnt. He was burnt with a Sefer Torah around him. And they put wet cotton around him so that he would die slowly. His wife was killed, crushed by the sword, Ariga. And his daughter was given over to prostitution. Why was he decreed on him Shemayim to get burnt? Shehoig is Hashem by Siyasa. He used to pronounce Hashem's name the way it's supposed to be pronounced.
Oh, okay. That's
a good one.
This is a Hanina ben Tradia.
What the heck did he do wrong?
That is a... There's a deal in the Rishon and which name we're talking about.
Is it the one with the Yud and then the Yud again?
I don't know. No, it's 42 letters according to Rashi. It's Akadai. So Hashem is Malchus. And any Malchus that you find in this world, it's only here because Hashem created the world with Malchus. And Malchus has levels, and Malchus has levels are closer to the king, and there's an order, and the king himself listens to advice. And we do see this in the Megillas Esther a lot. The Megillas Esther is the prototype of this concept. It's beautiful, you know. Akash Barish, ask them what to do with Vashti. Why do you have to ask them? Isn't he the king? Why did Achashverosh have to ask his advisors? First he asked the Jewish advisors, they don't want to tell him. They don't want to get involved. So then he asked the Jewish advisors. Why? Because that's what a Malchus is. The presidency is very far from Malchus. Malchus is a combination of absolute power, and even though, despite the fact that there's absolute power, the monarch with his absolute power chooses to listen to others. He's the final word. And that's why is monarchy in this world like that? Because of Kodesh Baruch Hu's Malchus is like that. And everything you have in Shemayim, you have on earth. That's why there's very little Malchus nowadays. Because even though you have the second half, that there's a consensus and you listen, but there's no absolute power. So we don't have the total, you know, democracy is a half of Malchus. It works better than the Malchus which was wielded by kings that they abused their absolute power, and you know, they went overboard. So as far as the benefit to the accrued population of the world, democracy is more benign, it's less damaging. Because if a monarch oversteps his bounds and he abuses his power and he takes absolute monarchy, well, that's what Hitler did when he got elected to Chancellor of Germany. He made himself a dictator. He abolished the whole Bundestag, you know, and he made himself an absolute. And that's why democracy is better than that type of monarchy. Okay. But the nice of the true Malchus is better than democracy. Why is that? Why is true Malchus better than democracy? You're right, you're 100% right, but I'd like to explain that. You're right, because since God is that man, it's better. Of course it's better. But the question is, why? Isn't democracy the best system known to mankind? What do you say, Brian? Fine.
The leader in the democracy doesn't necessarily get to the people.
Well, it's an indiscriminate tie. Isn't it better? And the people could, they don't like him, they could vote him out.
Could.
What is the flaw, the basic underlying flaw in democracy?
No leader?
That all the people have a voice?
No, one man, one vote. That is the greatest flaw in democracy. One man, one voice. What's wrong with that?
They're not qualified, like the Arabs in the Knesset have a voice.
Right. If someone has no seichel, does it make sense he should have the same voice as someone that is able to see the consequences of certain policies? It doesn't make sense. It's not logical. It's fear. It's in the interest of fearless. Even though you have absolutely no idea what you're talking about, you didn't read up on the issues. You didn't. It's fear that you should have a right to. I would defend you. I would. The soldiers that went to war and they came back, the Vietnamese War, they came back and they were spat upon and people didn't hire them and there was a lot of anger directed towards them because there was a tremendous backlash due to the occupation of Vietnam and the atrocities that were committed. This was like a liberal media, brainless people. And the soldiers were interviewed as saying that they put their life on the line. There's so many soldiers died defending the right of people to express their views against the soldiers. Does that make sense? That you should have a country that goes to war, and going to war based on a decision which, let's say it makes sense. I don't mean Vietnam per se. They went to war to protect the citizens of the people. And they get voted out by people that don't understand issues, that people that believe 60-second sound bites. They get voted out by people that see some children getting blown up, but they don't see the whole story that it was the host nation themselves that blew up the kids, but they don't show that part. This happens now time and time again, where they have they don't show it in the media. It's only interest. No, there was this kid that they had a CNN video of a kid under attack. And I was like, there was Arab terrorists / freedom fighters under attack by Israeli forces, and there was a child trying to gain some type of cover, trying to jump up, and then he gets shot by something, and he dies, and they drag him away. And they just played over all the media all over the world about 2 years ago. It is really soldiers attacking civilians and children that innocent children. So first of all, they couldn't prove that the kid died. There was no body. And second of all, based on the angle of fire, the Israeli army was convinced that it was friendly fire, that the Arabs killed the kid themselves. And it came to light, there was like a French journalist that investigated, it came to light that the kid was shot by his own side, and he didn't,
A lot of years ago, during the Intifada, there was a picture that was going around of this...
Toby Grossman.
Yeah.
I have the pictures.
See, he was like beaten and all bloody.
It's a picture of an Israeli
soldier standing around.
Not a soldier, an Israeli policeman, holding a baton, and then Toby Grossman's blood. And he didn't have a yarmulke on.
The media said he was an Arab.
Police brutality. Police brutality. So he was a base guy from Chicago. He was in an Arab. He got lost in an Arab neighborhood. They beat the living daylights out of him. There was an Israeli cop. And he was frightening away the Arabs with the baton. He never took the picture, no. So there are people that they vote based on... The media. Does that make sense? Is that logical? The Arabs.
Okay,
fine. That was like the final affront. That you take a Jewish victim and you use him to bastard to support the ones that are actually beating him. But it didn't stop them. Okay, it was an AP picture that was distributed. We didn't know. There was a guy that was fired from CNN, a photographer. Because in the Israelis were in the Lebanese War, the second Lebanese War. So then they had surgical strikes, and something was launched. Then they launched a missile back, and there was a picture that was released in CNN, not a video, a picture of smoke that the entire area, like I don't know if it was Beirut or it was like a civilian area, was covered with smoke and to disprove the Israeli claims that it was surgical strikes. Because surgical strikes, pinpoint strikes, do not cover the entire Israeli smoke. And they printed it, and then they found out that it was digitally altered. And they took a smoke plume and he duplicated it, and they found out about it, and they fired him. This is a CNN photographer. They just quote the
Iranians. That's the one they had on the cover of the Helmet PR or something. It's like an Arab or something standing there with a gun and behind him.
I don't know. The one I saw didn't have any arms. It was a distance picture. They had the Iranians shot off the Shihab missiles, you know. Yeah, they had the Qasr Shah and the capability of reaching the Qasr Shah and Mashami Raqqa Malayna. And they submitted to experts, and they saw that the missiles were duplicated, and there was only like one successful launch, and they duplicated and made it to three. And but you have people that they vote, you know, that their worldview is based on the media, and I would say that with very few exceptions, that is where worldviews of people come from, is what they hear on the radio, the TV, and the media, and the newspapers. Does that make sense? The entire world, the fate of the world to him and the bands, by people that are expressing their views and supporting the politicians based on their views, which are formed by the media? That's not a psychological thing. That's democracy. It's fraud. It's flawed. But it's better than what it was. I'm just saying, it's flawed. It's not a perfect system. It doesn't make a lot of sense. But it's better than what it was. It's better than King George.
That wasn't true. What's the definition of
two Malchus? Okay, that's the ultimate truth. But there is a Malchus in the devil. Shlomo Malchus, true Malchus.
What about Achashverosh?
Achashverosh, his kingdom, he had similarities to true Malchus because he was a king over the whole world. Achashverosh was the king over the entire world. So therefore, his Malchus is going to have similarities. Doesn't mean that every Pantheon in Bogdan was with Hashem's stamp of approval. As we see, he was a Russian.
He actually ruled like the whole world?
Yes.
Is he like the only person to ever do that?
No, there's other ones. Nebuchadnezzar, Shlomo, Koresh.
Shlomo did?
The Melech Bekipa. The entire northern hemisphere.
Shlomo ruled the whole world, or he was like...
They all pay tribute to him. Either he conquered them, or instead of him conquering them, he just gave up before they started. He married the princesses of the king of the world. It was consolidation. We did that in Shem Shammai.
You and Boss Power?
Was he punished for that, marrying that?
He was punished. Lost everything.
And he did like a Avodah Zarah, right?
He did not do Avodah Zarah. His wives did.
Oh.
But he was punished for it because someone has to make sure that his wives do not do that. He's responsible.
Well, how can he keep track of it?
So they're married 1,000 wives.
That's not my fault.
You can't control 1,000 wives, don't marry 1,000 wives.
I think he probably could have.
How does he even know all their names?
He was Shlomo now.
So Kenneth Brock, who judges the world like that, that he listens. Does he have to? No. Does he choose to? Yes. Malchus. And that's good for us. So that means when anytime Hashem judges a person, or a rock, or a plant, Hashem does not deliver a final verdict until Hashem hears from the Malachim that He created. Hashem listens. Hashem created them. Hashem created the Malachim that they bring in front of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, the merits, the schism, the positive attributes of the Jewish people. Hashem will not pass them until He hears it. And Hashem will change the din based on what they say. So there's Malachim that their job is to make sure they know what's going on. And Malachim have to know what's going on. You know the famous Medrash that when a person comes home from Shul, he has two Malachim. Good Malach. But he's not so good Malach. If he walks in the door, so the table is set, and it's neat, and there's food on the table, and everybody's dressed in their Shabbos dress, and there's floor scrub. So then the good Malach gives the person a bracha, and the bad Malach has to answer amen to the bracha. Because Malachim have to know what's going on in the world, otherwise they can't go to Kaddish Baruch Hu to tell Hashem to relate in front of Hashem what Hashem wants to hear. Now Hashem knows this without the Malach coming. But if Hashem had judged without the Malach coming, that would be irrelevant. The person did something bad. Kill him. Yeah. What difference does it make that on Shabbos he had his table set? But now the person's doing an avera. So judge him, kill him. That's Hashem. But Hashem makes a Malach that the Malach brings in front of a Kaddish Baruch Hu that the person had flowers on his table, and then Hashem judges the person for Chas V'Shalom, the big avera. Hashem hears the Malach talking about setting the table. Hashem wants that. Hashem knows that the person set the table, but Hashem is not obligated to take them into account when he's judging the person for doing an avera, which has nothing to do with setting the table. Hashem wants it. So Malachim has the power of knowing everything that's going on, and that's why Malachim do know everything that's going on, because that's their job. If that's your job, they have to be able to do that. Ramish. So Hashem doesn't need the Malach to come to Hashem to tell Hashem something Hashem doesn't know. Hashem knows it already. Hashem wants the Malach to come to him to bring it into the Din Torah. That should be brought into the Din Torah. A guy's a shoplifter. So they have character references. I just wrote a character reference to someone. Someone was had a mishpat, had a court, had a sentencing in America, so they wanted references, and they wanted character references. So what do character references have to do with what the guy did? The guy did something wrong, he broke the law. It's in the books. Malchus. Because in this world, there are similarities to Hashem's Malchus, because this world was created by Hashem. Hashem wants to be Malchus in this world. Malchus is character references. Alright, the guy's a good person. He's good to society. Take it into account. And in my particular case, he's not taken into account.
Bad society?
In the words of the judge, and there were a lot of people that showed up at the hearing. In the words of the judge, I could see that this person helped a lot of people, and there's a part of him that's a very fine person, but he still broke the law. And he sentenced him. But the very fact that they allow such a thing in means that it could tip the scales. Why is that? Why did someone think that up? The first person to think that up, when they wrote the manual procedures, where did it come from? It comes from because we are created by Kaddish Baruch Hu, and Kaddish Baruch Hu deals with the world as a Malach Yisrael Kisa, and advises him with bringing in other external evidence and factors and based on a person's character. So in this world is going to have that as well.
Thank you. What?
So that's why you'll see this psukim, and the psukim say, "Vayered Hashem Lirois." Hashem came down to see. What does Hashem came down to see? What does it mean? Why does Hashem have to come down to see? Hashem comes down. What is Hashem? Hashem sends a Malach to come down to see. That means that he gives the Malach the power of knowing everything. That the Malach, Hashem creates a Malach, and the Malach has the power of knowing everything. And then Hashem wants to hear from the Malach the thing that he saw. Now it works the other way also. The Malach sees bad things. I mean, Rachmanis, it works the other way also. When somebody does something bad, there are spiritual creations in the world that they are able to know everything that a person does. And then when a person does a mishpat, the Malach is also there. Because that's also part of a kingdom. Because part of a kingdom is fear. Part of a kingdom is the king may not overlook it. Part of a kingdom is the king cannot overlook something. The king has absolute power to strike a person down. That's also a part of Malchus. It's not a lovey-dovey. But in Eiv, and the angels came, Lishyata, the angels are gathering. What is that? Eini Hashem, Hanim Meshaytim Chalaz, the eyes of Hashem, they spread throughout the world. That's not Hashem's eyes. Hashem doesn't have eyes. Hashem doesn't need eyes. Nothing is hidden from Hashem. It's referring to Malachim. Because Hashem wants Malachim to come and testify. He doesn't need that either. He wants it.
Why does he want it again?
Because Hashem will listen to the Malachim even if it goes against the way Hashem would judge the person or place a thing in this manner. Hashem will listen to his own creations to go against the way he would have judged. That's Malchus. Why does Hashem do that? If Hashem doesn't do that, there won't be a world. It can't be because no one's perfect. That's it. Won't be a world. Hashem wants that because that's the only way. Don't you know something? Let me tell you, I show you. There was a guy in the yeshiva that he did something wrong. He did it enough times that was it. It's over. He's got to leave. And the Rashiva couldn't overlook it. It wasn't possible. The guy's gonna leave, he'll never learn. But how can you throw a guy out of yeshiva? How can you do that? But he's gotta leave. How can you throw him out of yeshiva? And the guy doesn't even know that no details about which place, which country, which yeshiva, and what offense. The guy doesn't even know that the yeshiva did this for him. Can't throw him out. He's a Jewish child. He's not a piece of refuse. He's not garbage. He's got to stay in the shoe. But he can't. So he threw him out. But he had to obey and bring the guy back in. And it was a setup. What?
That happened to a boy in my school. Yeah. Not because he stole a midterm. So if you went to public school, you obey him.
Brought him back in. Yeah, but it was a setup. It was a setup. No, yeah, so that's what happens. A kid gets thrown out of yeshiva nowadays, he has a place to go. He threw the guy out, and simultaneously with him throwing him out, the rabbi got him back in. He said, you can't do this, I'll take responsibility for him. And at the meeting, who will take a prize for the guy? I will take a guy. It's like, the Melech was Gezer Zardin that the guy has to leave. And the Malachim, the Rebbeim, so then they expressed their voice that the guy should stay back in. And they're both things at the same time. And the king listened to the Malachim. And then the guy came back in. He wasn't coming back in like he was being forgiven because he was thrown out. And Rabbi so-and-so saved him. But he was out. The psak was, he's out. It wasn't a joke. And Rashiva didn't. Rashiva says, you're out. And Rashiva says, I'll take him. It's going to be my own private yeshiva, in the yeshiva. Therefore, I will take a chorus from him. I will get him up. I will make sure he never does it. He will come to, you know. Rashiva says, okay, this is your yeshiva. So then I'll give him a chance. Maybe he'll come in and be a new person. Yeah, but that guy that was here has to be out. And there's a mashah. What happened to the guy? They didn't get thrown out. That's what a Malchus is all about. A Malchus is all about, you have absolute power. But you choose to listen to people that don't have absolute power, people that you create, or people that you're supporting, like in our example. Why? Because that's the only way a yeshiva can exist. You can't have a yeshiva that exists, that every time a guy goes over the line and breaks one of these unbreakable rules, he's out. You can't have an unbreakable law. God breaks it. They will break it. But you still need unbreakable rules. You don't have unbreakable laws. If you don't have unbreakable laws, you have no standards, and you'd like a lot of other places that don't do very well. You need standards, you need unbreakable laws, you need a line. But you also need others, lesser beings, on a lower level, creations, that they can bring the person back in. That's the way that's called checks and balances. So Shem wants that. He doesn't need it. He doesn't have to do it. He wants it. And the Malachim that do this are called Eini Hashem. The eyes of Hashem are the Malachim. Hashem does not have eyeballs. Hashem doesn't have a power of sight. Nothing is hidden from him. You only need sight if things are hidden. But if things aren't hidden, you don't need sight. Everything is there. So it's very negate to Rosh Hashanah. It should bring us to a level of Ava. Ava is Hashem. Rosh Hashanah is... The Gemara says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah that we're supposed to say Pesukim of Malchus in Musaf. We say Pesukim... The theme of the Pesukim is Malchus. We say Pesukim, but the theme of the Pesukim is Zichronos, and what's the third theme? Malchus, Zichronos, and Shaifus. The Gemara says, why do we say Pesukim of Malchus? Pesukim that praise Hashem's majesty. Kadesh Tamli Chuni Aleichem. Because the Hashanah is the coronation of a Kadesh Baruch Hu. The Ava, the love, the special feeling that we should have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that that's the way He judges us. He tells us when He's judging us. If you were a crafty type of person, you wanted to know how somebody was really doing, would you tell him when you're judging him? He tells us. He gives us a time period that we can prepare. He wakes us up. He's closer to us. Eli is Rosh Hashanah. Ani Lidaydi and Lidaydi Li. That means that Eli HaKadosh Baruch Hu embraces us. We feel closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than Eli if we're in touch with ourselves. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a chance. Why does He do this? He doesn't want to surprise us. He doesn't want to give us a surprise quiz. He doesn't want us to fail. He loves us. He wants us to make it. He wants us to be afraid, and at the same time, He's embracing us. Malchus. Rosh Hashanah is Hashem's way of keeping the world going. It's not a way of Hashem catching us. It's a way of Him keeping us going. Wouldn't be for Rosh Hashanah, the world would be long, long, long ago.